The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're back.
Ooh, John, no. Oh. That's not that podcast.
Oh, wrong podcast.
No,
sorry, guys.
Yeah, no, it's Martinis and Murder, not the other one. Welcome to Martinis and Murder, everybody.
Yeah.
We hope that you had a fabulous, scary week.
Absolutely. Hopefully we haunted your dreams over the last 7 days.
I've done that with many of my ex-girlfriends before, so I'm just trying to bring that to the rest of the population here.
Do any of them listen? Do you know?
Probably not. You know what I mean? Because they want to murder me anyway. They're probably like, ugh, screw that.
I actually have a really interesting personal story that could be a show topic one day. That's just the tease I'm giving you. Something that happened in my hometown.
Oh,
you know, lots of connections. I know it's all about me.
It's all about West Virginia and John. Wants to take claim for all the murders.
All the murders everywhere that I can take credit for them. Absolutely. Well, let's get into some housekeeping. You know, we usually
get
into
news at the top.
Yeah, we usually have some. The last few weeks we haven't, but we do have some really exciting news.
Yes, we do.
We are so excited. Last week we celebrated our 100,000th stream.
Woo!
Go us. We're applauding ourselves. Deal with it.
Just thank you so much to all of you guys.
There's Matt in the background. Thanks, Matt. Jeez.
I think he would have applauded. The only support he gives us.
Oh my God.
It's really insane.
Anyway, thank you guys so much who have supported the show. There are lots of exciting things yet to come for Martinis and Murder.
That's right. That's just the first milestone. We hopefully have many, many more to hit.
Those of you who contributed to those 100,000 streams, one day will be like, yeah, we were the first wave of people.
Yes, you're going to go down in history.
Absolutely.
100%.
Yes. So thank you again. And that's really all of the housekeeping we really have. So why don't you tell us what we're drinking? I have a little cup of tea with me. Because
your throat.
My throat's a little bit scratchy. And on top of that, I don't want to, I don't want to have like vocal fry. I've noticed I'm kind of talking like this. Whenever
and you don't
I have
think
a scratch,
the liquor will like drown out all of your scratchiness?
We'll find out.
Depends on the freaking martinis is going to make us today.
So all right, guys. He's working on it now. You can hear the ice.
The ice
background.
Is being crushed, but also like delicately crushed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like Matt's not like throwing stuff around.
Not
he's like
yet.
Delicately doing it. And I think he's doing it with a peeler. So it's going to be very,
very
interesting to see what we have going on. But we're going back to our original gin martini today, which is 2 ounces of gin, 1 splash of vermouth, but not for John because he doesn't like vermouth.
I don't like vermouth.
So just for me. Lemon peel for a garnish. However, big breaking news about the lemon peel. So Matt is responsible for, you know, giving us these delicious recipes,
for
making
sure
that you and I are hydrated throughout the entire show.
It's literally his only on-air job.
It's his only job.
Okay.
And he comes in with an orange. He comes with an orange, and we were like, wait a minute. In the deck, it says lemon peel, Matt.
I'm sorry. Do I have a sore throat and need vitamin C?
Yeah.
No. Actually, I kind of do.
He goes to this whole diatribe about he's like, I went down the commissary, and they didn't have lemons, and I want to get an orange. Complaints.
Okay.
Excuses. I didn't like it, and apparently... He read this comment on Chowhound, how if you tasted a martini with an orange peel, it tastes flat and sweet with too much orange. On the other hand, the lemon peel accentuates the botanicals, and it also brightens the gin vermouth. So basically we're drinking, as he shakes his ice, basically we're drinking garbage today. It's called a garbage teeny.
Garbage
because
teeny.
Because Matt is lackluster in this whole thing.
Well, I think I should also point out that Matt gave us a little show note here where he highlighted that whole part and said, I really don't feel that you need to say all of this.
Well, and then I was like, you know what? When Matt says yes, I say no.
Right, exactly.
And I'd rather just embarrass him.
I was like, she's definitely going to read this. So
you
we should just...
one job, Matt.
Yeah.
That is it. And it's not to kill us, it's to make us martinis.
There you go.
I mean, to be fair, we don't really drink or eat the garnishes.
That's true.
So I think it's just for a little pop of color.
Except, do you remember when we had the raspberry martini that had the chocolate
well, that
kiss
was
in
different.
It?
That
have
was
to
a
eat that.
That was a different garnish.
Have to eat that.
Yeah, I'm not like eating leaves.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like peels. So
but we
anyway.
We also have video tutorials on how to make our martinis, you guys.
Not just video tutorials, gorgeous video tutorials.
Yeah, they are.
I was looking
at
everything. Is in slow mo. It looks wonderful. And last week's actually included a step which involved murdering a lemon.
Right. That was a literal step.
Which I think is important. Although,
look,
you have to require, you know, it requires a lemon, which apparently is sold out in the United States because Matt couldn't get it, but that's fine. So murdering an orange, murdering a lemon is fine with us.
Oh, here. Oh, wow. I didn't know they were already made. I just got served first.
I don't know about that peel. I mean, that's a little.
What do you think about
well,
it?
Well, I would like a little twist, but it's fine. I mean, it really is a classic gin martini with a twist in the fact that it doesn't have a stupid lemon. But okay.
Okay. Well, you know. Look, the other thing, too, is if you can't murder people, at least murder a lemon. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, take your anger out on fruits.
Absolutely. Should we wait for yours to come out here
so that we can cheers you? We have to do our cheers.
Cheers bit.
Our
shout
cheers
out to
bits,
Travis.
Obviously, ladies got served first today.
It is
International
Women's Day. I got my drink.
So... He says it's because of the vermouth.
Right, because I asked for no vermouth.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Sure, Matt.
He says he can't taint?
No, taint is correct. I know you're saying it sexually, and we don't want to draw attention to your taint.
The thing is...
he doesn't want to taint anything.
With vermouth. Got it.
With his taint. Yes, that's correct.
By the way, I want to also mention, but have we already been drinking? Like, things are going haywire, and it's only been 6 minutes.
Something's in that tea that you've been drinking,
and
I've been getting secondhand tea aromatherapy, and I feel very relaxed.
Yeah.
Very comfortable. I also wore all black today.
You did
to
on
make
international.
Sure that when I get drunk and I spill on myself,
no stains.
It doesn't stain.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we get into it.
Yeah, let's
and
get into it.
And when my fucking martini is ready, then we'll cheers and we'll continue.
All right,
because clearly,
I love that idea.
We're halfway through this podcast.
I want to also mention, though, you can find these videos that we've been doing on our Oxygen and Crime Time Facebook pages.
They're awesome. They're amazing. Take a look.
And can we tell them, Matt, who is featured in those videos? Sure. Matt says that's okay. It is actually Matt, the bartender, that is making those videos. So if you wanted to get... some kind of look at him, you know, it's just mainly his hands and arms, but still, you know.
But
we're
you can
give
pick
you
him out of a lineup.
Yeah, exactly.
If there's ever a murder situation.
Where Matt the bartender's a suspect.
It's most murders.
Most murders
just
are.
Just keep in mind his hands and arms.
There you go. And by the way, today he's behind me, so you have to keep a lookout for.
Do you like how I purposely set it up? I was like, oh, be behind John today, Matt.
Yes.
And he was like, oh, great. I can, and I'm like. Got my eyes on you.
There you go. Perfect. All right. Well, let's get into this case while you wait on your martini. Oh, here it comes.
And here it is. Thank you, Matt.
Now, Matt, are you going to get one for yourself? Oh, he already made one. Okay. All right. Here we go.
Here
cheers,
we go.
Bitch.
Cheers, bitch.
This is just a regular one, right, this week?
Yeah. This is just a regular gin martini.
Regular gin martini. And, you know, you had a comment about my peel.
It's really
good.
I
like your peel. Yours is nice.
That's because he needed, because I'm the one that makes fun of him a
lot. Oh, that's true.
So
he
really
to make sure
needed
that
to
was
up
right.
his game. It's really delicious, but honestly, I feel like this is much more accented with a lemon peel. But that's fine.
Okay.
You do you, Matt.
Look, we only have an X amount of money for, you know, budget.
Our
budget
really
is really tight. Someone handed him a free orange. Look, we're going with what we did.
It's true, but it's nice and chilly. I just want
it
you to
is
know it's
very
nice
cold.
And chilled.
And
it's
I'm just going to say, one little sip is already burning my whole throat.
Oh, good.
I don't know what is up with gin martinis.
That's the bleach you put in there. You didn't know that?
I'm about to die.
Secret ingredient.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get into this week's case. Enough, you know, drunk
Matt talk.
Matt and drunken talk here, basically. This week, we are talking about Pamela Smart. Now, those of you who pay attention to these kind of to cases in general might recognize that name. What were you going to say? You had something.
Well, I was going to be like, there's a lot of smarts going on.
Oh, that's a very good point. Yes, this is not Kristen Smart from the last two episodes.
Right, if you've listened to those episodes, right. Which you should.
If you don't, we're going to come through this podcast.
Give you an orange peel.
Give you an orange peel with vermouth.
Yeah, exactly.
And obviously not Elizabeth Smart.
None
which,
of these people are related, right?
Right, exactly. Okay. So today's case, however, so Pamela Smart is obviously like a focus of this case, but the case we're discussing today is the murder of Gregory Smart, a 24-year-old insurance salesman who was shot to death in his home on May 1st, 1990. His wife, Pamela Smart, was at a school board meeting at the time of the murder. And as we said, this is not Kristen Smart. They are not related. This is not Elizabeth Smart. But we will be covering Elizabeth Smart eventually.
Oh, God, that's such a fascinating case.
So I think the real issue here is that if your last name is Smart, you kind of just need to be on your toes.
It pays
you know what
to
I
be
mean?
Stupid.
Absolutely.
It pays to be
Don't
stupid.
Be
you're
going
to live a lot longer if you're dumb.
Yeah. I mean, there are, I mean, how many Smarts? It's weird, isn't it?
It's
a weird coincidence.
Yeah, it's not like a Smith last name,
right.
Although we're probably completely off and Smart is like the top four last name in the United States. But it gets confusing. None of these people are related. They just happen to
have the same last name.
Yes, they do.
So before we get into the murder, which happened about 6 days before their first wedding anniversary. So that's tragic in and of itself.
Exactly.
Let's talk about Pamela and Greg's relationship.
Okay.
So they met at a New Year's Eve party in 1986. My connection to the case is here. I was born in 86. So there you go.
What were you doing on New Year's Eve 1986?
Well, I don't know if this was New Year's Eve.
Were you having a computer party?
Into 1987. We should have looked that up. Maybe Matt knows that answer. But if someone says New Year's Eve party 1986.
Then it's leading into
87. So I would have almost been 1 year old, probably just in a diaper.
Drinking
running
in the dive
around.
Bar.
Yeah, listen. Yeah. Matt. Oh, I thought Matt had a comment, but he didn't. So.
No, Matt's not allowed to say anything.
So anyway, she was 19 years old. He was 21. They were both into 80s rock, as most people were at that point. You know,
I was going to say, says no one now.
I know.
But
we've
yes.
seen our parents. I have photos of my parents who were in their 20s around this time. Very 80s.
Love the feather hair.
Feathered
the mullets
hair.
Were out.
Yeah. They actually both had feathered hair. And she thought he looked a lot like John Bon Jovi, who, for all of you young kids out there, is the lead singer of Bon Jovi, in case you didn't know
Do
that.
Do you think that he did? Did you look up pictures? Because I looked up pictures, and I get it. Like,
kinda.
He had long hair, but, like, I don't Maybe know.
Maybe influenced. Influence
yeah, okay.
is the better
That's
word.
That's fair.
but they were saying, she was saying that, sorry, they had feathered hair, which looked like John Bon Jovi's because it was shoulder length. So I guess it wasn't like completely identical.
It was
identical.
The look of the time.
Right. She was blonde and had a small frame. I guess you could say that she was attractive if you think of the typical sense of the word.
She was.
Yeah.
She was.
So she loved Van Halen, even though he looked like John Bon Jovi. She loved Van Halen so much that she even named her dog Halen. If that's not enough, she also had a license plate that said Halen. So this is a very like 80s chick.
Right.
Obsessed with Van Halen, obsessed with that probably like rock scene, if you will.
Definitely. Like heavy metal.
Right.
Yeah.
So they ended up getting married about 2 years later. So soon after they got married, Greg took a job at his dad's insurance agency.
Fun.
So, you know, think about it. Yeah, exactly, right? Like,
Yay.
It's not a fun, exciting rock star lifestyle. He's working at an insurance agency.
Right.
The idea was that he was kind of ready to settle down. He was looking forward to having children. He thought that Pamela would make a great mother based on the care that she gave to her little Shih Tzu dog, Halen, which we mentioned.
She loved that fucking dog.
Yeah, we'll get into like the dog stuff, especially there's a kind of crazy thing coming in at the end here, which I'm sure you remember. Greg's father told MSNBC that he wanted a, quote, picket fence. Greg did.
Right.
So kind of that traditional. You know, he was ready to kind of like grow up. Greg's mother told People magazine, she said, quote, she didn't want to see, or rather the magazine reports, quote, she didn't want to see Greg turn into a yuppie. She wanted him to keep his long hair, to party on weekends with their friends. But Greg had gotten past that point. He wasn't this rock star she was talking about all the time.
It's called adulting.
Exactly.
In like millennial terms.
And especially at that age and at that time frame, you know, like a lot of people, our parents' generation, were kind of phasing out of that kind of hard rock scene and ready right. to have kids at like 21 years old.
I was going to say, but like 24. I mean, the fact that I'm almost 30, you're in your 30s. Yeah. It's like, are we behind the times a little
apparently.
Bit? Like, we need to get our shit apparently. Together, John.
So basically, Pamela wanted to live this edgy rock star life, and Greg was just moving on and growing out of that lifestyle.
Right.
So Pamela grew up in Miami. She moved to New Hampshire when she was in eighth grade. Ironically, her parents wanted to protect her and her two siblings from the violence of the big city, which
right.
is just ironic given this situation and the fact that, you know, we're talking about this on Martinis and Murder.
Although
now.
It does make sense to move to New Hampshire.
Sure.
You know, like that seems like a
unsuspecting.
Safe, yeah, it just seems like a very safe place to be.
I mean, I'm sure terrible things happened in New Hampshire. Obviously,
every
this
state.
Did. But New Hampshire, if I could pick one state that just sounds quiet and, you know.
It's like, what are you upset about?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, life's pretty good.
Yeah. Go hunt for lobsters? I don't know. That's Maine. Okay, moving on.
Close.
Something like that. In high school, she was a cheerleader. She dated the captain of the football team. She was an honor student and a class officer. She had these high hopes and aspirations. Her mom recalls her telling her that she wanted to be another Barbara Walters, saying she didn't know how she was going to do it, but that was her goal in life. So, you know,
it's a lofty goal.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, we've talked now about backstories of some of these people, and it just really seems like she's another example of one of these people who had a lot.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Is Matt going to
kill
me?
Matt was just behind. I just saw him stand
up. I felt a shadow.
Take a few paces. And then he was behind you.
Luckily, it's just a peeler this time. So I think I'm going to be able to like wrestle that out of his hand. Yeah, he probably could.
Maybe he'll be the next peel in our martini.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe it'll be my face as the next garnish.
You couldn't get a fucking lemon?
Yeah. No, well, here's John's face.
Yeah, exactly.
But what I was saying was she just really seemed like this, I don't want to say all American girl, but she definitely was somebody who was doing well in school.
Yeah, you'd probably think she was very popular.
Exactly, kind of unsuspecting. I keep thinking of that Skylar Nice episode we did a couple episodes ago. If you haven't listened to that, check it out.
I actually think of all the 80s movies like from that time of like the really, you know, attractive blonde girl dating the football captain, being a cheerleader, being very smart. Like the world is her oyster. She has so much life to live.
Yeah.
And it makes me just think of like those times it saddens me to know what happened to her.
I know, right?
So things didn't really go the Barbara Walters route.
Not quite.
I would say. Like,
things derailed just a bit.
Pamela ended up taking a job as a media services director at the local high school. I'm sure being from New Hampshire, there's limited media as we know because we're both in television. You know, this was probably like a really cool, interesting job helping out the youngsters.
You know, this is someone who would teach you how to make a podcast.
This would be what
this
you
was,
are.
Yes.
Exactly.
If it was 2017 and I was in New Hampshire, I would be teaching someone how to make a podcast at media services. Yes.
So she's young. She's this media service director at her local high school. Mm. And she meets a student named William Flynn, who goes by Billy. So Billy Flynn is what we're going to be talking to him as, referencing him as. He went when he was 15.
When she met him. Yeah,
that's when she met 15. Him. He was 15. She was 22 at the time. So he was a 15-year-old. I think that's a freshman.
Yeah, freshman in high school, I think.
So picture that. Like hormones, teenager, yes.
Young woman. Because, by the way, we think of teachers.
Hot woman.
Yeah, exactly. We think of teachers. You know, as
like school marmy.
Yeah, but the reality is, you know, there's only a 7-year difference between these two.
Right.
You know, at some point they could have technically been in the school system at the same time.
Totally.
So, you know, it's not like some old woman with like a dough roller as the teacher here.
That's a really good point. And more importantly, Billy Flynn had shoulder length hair.
That's something we need to remember.
Which you know she's into.
Someone else who has shoulder length hair? You.
Yeah, well.
Just want to put that out there.
That is kind of, maybe that's how I relate to this case.
Yeah, maybe it is.
So Billy Flynn liked 80s hard rock, especially Motley Crue. That was his favorite band we read.
Yeah.
He wore a black leather jacket and played the guitar. He was essentially the personality type that she probably wished her husband Greg would be, or at least wanted him to stay as, because he had kind of grown up out of that, wanted to adult in his life. And Billy Flynn was this hardcore rocker that seemed, you know, mysterious and rock and roll.
I mean, I don't mean to keep making this connection, but you know who else has shoulder length hair and a leather jacket? You.
Me. Yeah.
Yes.
In fact, when I walked into work today, I had a leather jacket on and I'm wearing all black today. And one of the lawyers at Bravo looks at me. She goes, oh, my God, you look like a burglar. And I was like, or a hacker, either way.
One or the other.
I look very cool.
Or Billy Flynn, one of those three things.
I could be that.
Yeah.
Billy also admitted he was attracted to Pamela as a 15-year-old, telling a friend as soon as he saw her that he was in love.
Okay.
I mean, he felt this connection to her. So during this class, she worked on a video project with Billy and a few other students. This project is where the illicit attraction blossomed between the two of them. Ironically, this all happened during a three-day program called Project Self-Esteem, which school officials said was a program designed to help teenagers cope with issues such as sex and drugs.
Interesting.
So sort of in this illicit teacher-student. And, you know, you sort of hear about these, you know, professors and their students because college kids are more adult.
Sure.
Professors can be younger. It kind of makes sense. But for a high schooler and a person who's already out of college to do that, that's
illegal.
It's illegal, but it's also super illicit.
I mean, of course.
It's not – I think it's frowned upon in any sort of realm. But this was just – this was bad.
Yeah, and my initial thought was
– Matt's dying in the back and I said bad. Say it one more time.
Bad.
It's very bad.
Very bad. Yeah. You know, my initial thought when I read this, I was like, I wonder if Pamela knew about this program, who it was targeting, you know, when she took this job, because could it be possible that she was purposefully trying to find someone a little more like the Van Halen type and didn't care what it took, even if it was a 15-year-old in high school.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll type of thing is what you're saying.
I mean, at some point they had to be like, look, we're going to be dealing with troubled children. Are you going to be able to handle that? The answer she probably would have said was yes. And then, you know, weeks later, months later, she's in a weird relationship with this kid. So
yeah. And also the fact that some sort of love, you know, attraction happened. Like, how does that happen?
Well, that's exactly like what we should talk about.
Who's making the first move there? I've never had an instance where like a teacher or an authority figure has ever really crossed the line with me.
You mean like during high school or whatever?
Yeah, during school. I mean, I had jobs where that sort of happened, but I was a young waitress and I was a fully fledged adult by then.
Right.
But I've never really,
as a young,
I just can't imagine like what
goes
down. Like if she makes the move, is he like peeing his pants? And if he makes the move, what is she thinking? There's a lot in my mind.
Well, there's a lot to like. No, I think those are completely normal reactions to have. I mean, you know, at some point you have to we all have to remember she's the adult in this situation. She's responsible
she's the authority
for this.
Figure.
Exactly. So, you know, just
and
you
she's also
hope
teaching
that
other kids how to deal with sex and drugs.
Right. Yeah, so did anyone look at her resume?
I mean,
did they have LinkedIn in the 80s?
God. We'll get to her pictorial resume in a moment.
Yeah.
So,
whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
That's true.
Allegedly, there was a conversation when Billy was in Pamela's office that paved the way for this all to happen. I'll be Pamela, you be Billy.
Okay, sure.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
I'm Pamela.
Yeah, okay.
Do you ever think about me when I'm not around?
Sure.
Well, I think about you all the time.
End scene.
End scene.
Thank you.
And that, I feel like, sums it up.
By the way, we've done a lot of role-playing on the show at this point.
And also, the enthusiasm from Billy Flynn, from you, just Sure. I think nailed it.
Well, because you kind of imagine him just being like, sure. You know, like, sure. Yeah. Okay.
Or like not really knowing what to say. A test?
Right, right. Ooh, that's a good point. Was it a test?
Right. To see if he's like, absolutely. Because honestly, if you say that, if a professor or teacher asked me that, mm-hmm. If I said no, that's insulting. But if I say yes, that seems a little perverted. So I think, especially as a 15-year-old boy, and they literally know nothing. All 15-year-old boys know nothing. Yeah. I'm saying that as a fact.
Okay.
I would just kind of go with the flow and be really nervous about what to say.
Sure, yeah. Especially if he already had a crush on her. Like it's, right. You know, he told his friend that he loved her or whatever. Yeah, how do you handle that?
Exactly.
So weird and awkward.
Well, if you Google Pamela Smart, which... Yeah. We have done.
Right, as research.
A photo of her will come up of her posing in her bra, and I'm not saying it.
Okay, let's just break this down. Darren hates the word panties. I do as well, but it was a huge fiasco in our pre-production meeting.
I told Matt to strike it out. I didn't want it there. Bleep me out. And he goes, what would you say instead? And I go, underwear? And that killed the room.
Yeah, it did.
And killed the vibe.
Well... Matt's laughing again. I kept this in the show because I really wanted you to have to
and
say the word panties.
You gave me this part, I can tell. Well,
but anyway, I've
said
it.
She was in her undergarments.
Yes, there you go.
On her bed in sexually provocative positions. And these are absolutely online,
yeah.
On Google. I've taken a thorough look.
Yes.
I've done a lot of research.
For all of the females, we make sure you get all of the research about that.
Yes, of
course. And you did some other research, by the way. We'll get to that in a minute later on.
We will.
But tell us why that picture is interesting.
Well, so this was before, you know, you could just snap something or Instagram anything. So Billy was actually given the negatives of these images to develop by Pamela. Okay?
And so my question is this, first of all, is this legal, number one?
Well, because... Okay, if the situation were reverse, where he was giving her illicit pictures of himself, uh-huh. Isn't that child pornography?
Yes, if he had done that and she owned them, I'm guessing
that's... So was the reverse?
It was the reverse.
Okay,
yeah.
Right, but is the reverse, like, is there anything bad with that?
Right, and the other thing is she's not nude in that, and at least in that
photo.
She's
not nude. No, she might as well be in, like, in a bathing suit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know, and it's just like, where were the parents? Was this a, you know, the other thing is, was this a school assignment? Like, did she give these to him as an assignment?
Yeah, or like, were develop these in your dark room.
Right, or were these, like, a kind of extracurricular thing that he was doing?
Also note that Billy was a virgin.
Yeah. And imagine getting pictures of your crush teacher in their underwear.
Yeah.
I mean,
so his hormones were flying.
Sure.
One night, actually, Billy Flynn would later testify in court when Pamela's husband Greg was away on a trip. Pamela invited him over to watch 9 1/2 Weeks, which is a very sexually explicit movie from the 80s with, what's her name, Kim Basinger and Mickey Rourke.
Okay.
This sets a clear tone for the night. You do not want to watch this movie with somebody platonic.
Right.
And let me just say,
yeah,
I decided to watch the movie.
Okay.
So I did a little research on my own.
Yes.
well, I watched it by myself.
Okay, yes, let's get into it, because you did your homework.
Yes.
Because you're very dedicated to your craft here at Martinis and Murder.
I just wanted to know the vibe, because apparently we read that Pam did a
striptease
for Billy, similar to one of the scenes in the movie, which eventually led to them having sex, to the music of Van Halen,
uh-huh.
Obviously.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And so I was like, let me watch this movie and see if this kind of gets me in the mood to, like, have sex with a 15-year-old boy. It didn't.
It didn't, which is good.
It didn't.
But, you know, I just love your dedication. You did this purely for the show.
Purely for the show.
No other reason.
Yeah.
Just homework, nothing to see here. So the question is, does this hold up at, no pun intended, as a sexually arousing whatever type of show in 2017?
Yes.
Interesting.
It does. Okay. I think I was trying to picture myself in the 80s, this illicit affair is kind of going on between a 15-year-old, 22-year-old. This movie would have blown my mind back then. I mean, nowadays, like, there was really, I mean, Modern Family seems more salacious to me than than these types of things. It wouldn't register with me in 2017 how it does now, just because the internet is available to all of us. And
but
you can
for
look
a 15-year-old in the 80s.
Absolutely.
This was,
and there was a heavy amount of sex.
Okay.
And fairly raunchy sex. Not, mm-hmm. I mean, it was definitely sexualized.
And by the way, she's reading her notes about the show. You kept very tedious notes as you watched.
I was like, okay, sex scene number one, yeah. 1 minute in.
What happened here?
Yeah, so I could see, I think a teacher showing a student that movie under any circumstance
was an obvious signal.
Is a huge signal. Yeah. So things are now full steam ahead regarding their sultry affair, and Pam and Billy give statements to the press that spun their affair into something less raunchy and more about actual true feelings and emotions. Pamela actually told MSNBC, quote, "I feel like I was attracted probably to the fact that he was just a very nice person." Said no one ever. He seemed like a very gentle person who and someone who was, I don't know, he paid a lot of attention to me and I wasn't feeling too good about myself at the time, end quote. And so, listen, she's with this guy. She's married to a person who's a full-fledged adult who wants to settle down.
Who's not quite the person she met at the beginning of their relationship.
This, like, younger rock type of guy comes in, makes her feel amazing, is obsessed with her, you know, who's just showering her with attention. It makes sense. And Billy, meanwhile, told the Boston Globe, "She was someone I could talk to. I could say whatever I wanted and she'd comfort me."
But my thing about these quotes are, like, you can still have people in your life that fulfill those needs in a way that isn't sexually and inappropriate and disgusting. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a 15-year-old and I'm sure both have had teachers that feel like you can talk to them about anything. And that can be the line. Like, there was just all the lines that were crossed between these two is just really disturbing.
Well, yeah, like the coming over to the house one, but even the nine and a half weeks. Like, even if it was just a movie, I would think that would be inappropriate, but 9.5 weeks.
By the way, where did you end up watching that movie? Because I know we were hunting for it the other day.
Oh, I rented it on iTunes.
iTunes.
Yeah, and I watched it on my couch.
Interesting.
By myself.
There you go.
Lit some incense, lit some candles.
Had a martini.
Really set the mood for myself.
For just yourself on the couch.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's get into the murder now. You know, a lot of these details are rather disturbing. I might throw to you to read some of this stuff, but but probably not, just because I'm not that big of a baby. But so by now you're probably wondering what went awry, right? Because, you
who
know.
Who killed who?
Yeah, because we have this one. On one hand, there's this crazy affair going on between a child and a teacher. So where's the murder? Well, Pam, as you might expect, not even a year into her marriage, wants out. So Pam and Billy begin to think that this isn't just an illicit affair. This could be the real deal. They could end up together. But how can they do that? You know, do they keep it on the DL until he's 18? You know, and in our pre-production meeting, we all just kind of screamed the same thing. Why wouldn't she just get a divorce like a normal adult?
She is the authority figure here.
Yeah.
Like, why is she not driving this to be the most rational decision ever? Like, okay, I'm going to divorce him.
Yeah.
And even though having sex with a 15-year-old is illegal, at least have the patience to be like, all we have to wait is 2 or 3 years and we can be together.
And then it's legal,
you know? Then we can 9.5 weeks all up in our shit.
The other thing, though, is I was thinking about this. Is it a sign of the times? You know, divorce now is very common. We all know someone who's been divorced.
Yeah.
In the 80s, I feel like there was probably a little bit more of a stigma around
divorce.
And I
don't know if she was religious. I never read any of that anywhere.
Yeah.
So maybe she felt, I don't know. These are all stipulations. We're not sure, but
who knows?
Needless to say, she didn't get a divorce.
But we do have a little bit of information about this. So Billy later testified that Pam told him that she would lose her house, her furniture, and her Shih Tzu dog, Halen, if they got divorced. So that was her reasoning.
Okay.
Was that an actual reasoning? Who knows? But she clearly loved the dog, and I think it's fair to say that she loved the dog more than her own husband at this point.
Yeah.
Pamela also claimed that Greg had an affair before she did and that he was emotionally abusive. We have no idea if this is true. This is what she's sort of claiming. So she made Billy an offer that he just simply couldn't refuse.
Couldn't refuse.
Billy testified that if he killed Greg, Pamela would then use the $140,000 life insurance policy to buy the two of them a house.
Because, Only in New Hampshire, goddamn, that's,
I was gonna say, that's,
ain't in Manhattan, I'll tell you that right.
That's rent
now.
For a month for some of us.
Yeah.
You know, so my thing, when I read this, I'm like, do they really think that, like, it's just going to all go down simply, like, you're going to just kill somebody and then go buy a house and live happily ever after? Like, I don't think
I do think you have to be
delusional.
You can't. You're not like a rational, normal human being to be like, I'm going to end the life and then let's just go live
we'll
that
go
way.
Have a, yeah.
But I will say, remember, this is the 80s. So $140,000, while
that's a good
it's a hefty sum now, think about it back then. This was a lot of money. And for a 15-year-old?
That's a good point. Yeah.
That's like... You don't even know what to think there.
Yeah. And another motivator, she threatened to break off their relationship unless he killed her husband. So that's no more Van Halen sex.
That's right.
I think that's important to know. No more watching 9.5 weeks together.
That's unfortunate.
You'll have to watch it alone, like Darren did the other night.
Which is really sad.
And no more strip teases. So for a 15-year-old, that's kind of a lot to lose when you're basically having the ultimate fantasy with your teacher come to real life.
But tell me, not to put you on the spot, right? But a 15-year-old,
I was a 15-year-old
horny boy.
Okay.
In whatever way that you're swinging, those hormones are like almost hard to control, right?
Because
15-year-old girls aren't thinking that.
I was
in
just
going to
say
way,
that. Yeah,
but I know that boys are.
Yes, definitely boys are. I think you're coming of age in a lot of ways at 15. You're really learning about your life, your sexuality, whatever, however you want to say it. So to then be just like almost, what's the word, like coddled into the perfect scenario about what is on your mind 24/7.
Right.
You know, it's just such a moment. It's such an example of taking advantage of a child, and it's disgusting.
Totally.
It's
and so I'd disgusting. Also imagine that, especially at 15, when you are a child still, that the idea of having something you can't have or having something that's forbidden only makes it that much more
exciting. And it's all brand new, too. Remember, like you were a kid before, the only thing you probably cared about was what was on TV at that time. And now you have this whole new world that's opening up.
Or if you're 28 and gay, you're still wondering what's on TV at
the time.
There
you go. That's you. Yeah, I love it.
Everybody's got their own lives.
Everyone has different things that they like.
Yes.
Pam and Billy hatched a plan. So she wanted Billy to shoot Greg in their house.
That's sweet.
Yeah, how nice.
Yeah, like have him be home.
Yeah, how nice.
Yeah, that's so nice of her.
So Billy somehow enlisted his three friends into helping him. They were Vance
I think it's Latimy,
okay.
Yeah.
Junior, who went by JR, Patrick Randall, who went by Pete, and Raymond Fowler. So those names are kind of important because we'll get to what happened later on, and those who was doing what, and eventually how it comes into the case is important.
How do you enlist your friends to do that? Hey guys,
how do you enlist? Yeah, first of all, how do you convince a 15-year-old to do this, and then have him add a couple of friends into this?
You want to play basketball after school? Actually thinking we're gonna murder somebody.
Yeah. So Pamela wanted to make sure that some conditions were met, however, about the murder that night.
Naturally.
Yeah. One condition was that they use a gun and not a knife because she didn't want blood on her white leather couch.
Yeah. I mean,
how
I think
thoughtful.
Two important things there.
Yeah.
One, thinking ahead.
Right.
Two, white leather couch.
White leather couch.
What is it, the fucking 80s?
It is the 80s,
like,
actually.
Jesus
so good
Christ.
Point.
Get a stylist.
Notice she didn't mention a peeler.
Yeah.
Which could also have been very bloody and disgusting.
So I wore black today.
Yes, thank you for wearing black. The other condition was she wanted her dog, Halen, to be put in the basement so that the dog wasn't traumatized during the murder.
Obviously.
How sweet.
PETA would be very pleased.
PETA is okay with this situation.
ASPCA, fine.
The lawyers are going to hate us after this episode. By the way, they're listening in.
Yeah. Shout out to the lawyers.
Hey, lawyers.
I'm so nervous now.
Okay, so it's the day of the murder. Let's get ahead a little bit here. So it's Tuesday, May 1st, 1990. A day Pam would need to stay late for a board meeting at school, which she thought would be a great solid alibi. So Pam usually left for work first, but Greg was the first to leave on the day of the murder. So that's important, I think, as we see the chain of events that happened.
She clearly thought this out.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, this is insane. So during the day, Pam dropped by Billy's locker and told him she'd left the bulkhead doors to the basement unlocked. So, by the way, Billy's good to go. He's got his three friends. They're ready to go. A whole life with a $140,000 house and a dog named Halen is right around the corner. So later that evening, the four boys drove to Pam's house and entered before Greg got home. Halen started barking and running around. Billy had to chase the dog all over the house before he was able to pick him up. The boys allegedly joked later that they threw Halen down into the basement and heard the dog tumble all the way down the stairs.
Okay.
I mean, how...
I'm an animal lover, and
I know.
When we first put that on the agenda, I laughed out loud, and I didn't mean to laugh out loud. Mm-hmm. It was like
No,
I'm laughing because I'm so uncomfortable with the imagery of like
of
this
tumbling.
Little Shih Tzu dog being thrown down the stairs.
It's sad. It's horrible.
It's so horrible and sad. And also, you know, Pamela would have been happy knowing that they threw her fucking dog down
that's
the
a good
stairs.
Point.
So sure they. Didn't mention that detail to her.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Matt's working on round two, I think, behind us.
He's chopping up ice with a peeler.
And he's, like, right behind me, and I can't see him, so all I hear are, like, stab sounds behind me.
He is wearing all black today, too. That's probably to absorb the blood splatter.
That's a good point, yes.
Yeah.
So after that, they ransacked the house and put a pillowcase full of items that they would take with them, like jewelry, to make it look like a robbery.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is how premeditated the murder was. Pam allegedly wore a ring on every finger on the day of the murder because she didn't want her favorite pieces of jewelry to go missing while they were faking this robbery. So imagine, like, thinking of all of those details, like how everything was going to go down to the point where you wanted to make sure all of your jewelry was on your fingers.
Well, she's a woman.
Yeah.
She's thinking properly.
There you go.
She's thinking ahead.
Taking care of her jewels.
Yeah.
Soon the boys heard Greg's car pull up to the house. The engine was turned off and the headlights went dark. And you have to wonder, what are they feeling in this moment?
Like, I think adrenaline.
It has to be, right?
Because if they're there, if they've already convinced themselves, I would imagine.
Yeah.
They've already convinced themselves in their mind that they're going to commit this.
Yeah.
What can only be described as a heinous act.
Right.
Putting that aside, once you've rationalized in your own mind that you're ready to go.
Yeah.
And you're ready for, like, it's like the main event.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's 5 minutes before showtime. Let's go.
And my thing is, too, I mean, I'm speculating, I'm wondering out loud here, is what was in it for the other boys? Was it just to help their friend? You know, like, what was the exchange of goods
here? But again, maybe you can speak to this as being a young boy, you know, helping a friend, but like your guys, you know, having sex with this teacher who's hot and who's a rock and roller, like you want to help him out, get his happiness too, and
sure,
so and you don't have that capacity at that moment to realize
that's true.
What
they're
you're
kids.
Actually, they're kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can only imagine that. I mean, I've never even. I can't say, but boys are, you know, boys are stupid.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. I agree. With
right,
you.
Matt. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He agrees. Silent agreement in the bag.
All right, so this is where it kind of gets disturbing and weird. So Greg walks into the house, and he was ambushed by Billy and Pete. So meanwhile, JR and Raymond were waiting in the getaway car, so they weren't even in the house.
Yeah. Okay.
So Pete would later testify, according to the Washington Post, that he clenched Greg's hair and held a butcher knife to his throat.
Oh, God.
Disturbing.
Not a peeler.
Right, not a peeler, which could have just happened a moment ago when I was not looking. Greg was asked to hand over his wallet, and he complied. But Pete, you all right?
Oh,
you're
I'm just
good?
Laughing because Matt had a peeler behind your head while you were talking. But it's
not. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, he was going to cut your hair.
Oh,
just
good.
A little bit.
All right, sounds good. A little bit of bloodshed never hurt anybody on a show like
That's
this.
That's right.
But Pete also asked Greg to give up his wedding ring, but Greg refused. When Randall asked why, Greg's reply was, quote, "My wife would kill me," he said.
Oh, my. That crushes me.
Yeah, because it also gives the obvious point here that, like, he was unaware of, like, where she was, what she was up to, what was going on behind the scenes.
I mean, they were newlyweds, you know,
yeah.
They hadn't even been married. Again, this was 6 days before their first wedding anniversary.
That's so true.
Like, you're falling in love. I had read, you know, he was so excited about her that he even was planning, like, a really fun anniversary thing for her. I can only imagine that he just was obsessed with her.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
So then this is where it gets really gruesome. So after this exchange, Billy held a .38 caliber revolver up to Greg's head while Greg pleaded for his life. Billy said, "God forgive me," and fired. And it was 6 days, as you mentioned, before Pam and Greg's first wedding anniversary.
Oh, God.
I mean, you know, the other thing, too, that you have to think about with "my wife would kill me," does it mean that she was jealous of him? You know what I mean? So there's all these different.
Oh, good call.
Yeah.
So that might be the case.
I mean, who knows? It's
either that or it was the most sacred thing.
Right.
To
exactly.
Him.
To
and,
him. That's what I was thinking, too.
And it represents
too.
The relationship and
right.
the unity between them. And he probably was just, oh, my God.
Yeah. She's Ugh. Very
he's
obviously.
He's also 24, right? He's young.
Something like that. Yeah.
He's
super
in his
young.
Mid-20s. He's like,
yeah, just started
he's a
at
kid.
His dad's
it
insurance
like
agency.
He's a kid too. Like,
I know.
There's so much to say,
but it's so chilling and horrifying. So, yeah, Let's move on to some of the aftermath.
In the weeks after the murder, the boys couldn't keep their mouths shut, like 15-year-old boys usually can.
And
shockingly enough, they posted about this murder.
Oh my God.
And someone called the police because they overheard these boys talking about how they killed successfully. This is a small town, and murders are extremely rare. Again, sure. We're in New Hampshire, which you and I have this picture of kind of like this perfect little like quaint
I
state.
Do, yeah,
and
I do.
And even now, still, you know, 30 years later, it still has that image to us.
Sure.
This was the only murder of the year in the town. Okay?
Yeah.
Of the entire year, this was the only murder. And so everyone is just talking about it. Everyone's just so enthralled. First off, an illicit affair, I think, would bring up a number of gossipy things. But the fact that there's a murder involved is crazy. Additionally, JR's father brought his .38 caliber revolver to the police, believing it could have been the murder weapon. And it was. Only in a small town, I feel like, could that happen.
I know. It's like, it's funny because we've done so many of these episodes where we're like, can we trace the murder weapon? Can we figure it out? And then this guy's like, by the way, here's the weapon.
Yeah, he's like,
this was my son.
It was also his dad.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was actually a very curious thing to me because you see a lot of parents wanting
potentially
to just protect their kids.
Up.
Either helping cover it up or just naturally wanting to defend their kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And this guy was like, this could be it.
Yeah.
You know,
good
here
point.
It is.
That's a really good point.
So it didn't take long for Billy to admit that he killed Greg. He claimed he did it because Greg was abusive and he was trying to protect Pam.
Yeah.
This was probably what he heard from
Pam
and probably helped him justify ending his life.
Yeah.
Billy and friends agreed to cooperate with police for reduced sentences, which
was great.
Very smart.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to be – here we go.
Yeah, here we go. Round two. I almost didn't react to that because I'm so used to it.
Also, I already finished mine. Like, get on the giddy up.
I know. I had a sip of it, and it's like, I'm like
get on the
having a reaction
I don't even
to
like
it.
Gin. I just like getting drunk and spilling it myself.
I know. I hope Matt's not offended. Yeah, exactly.
He is offended.
By the way, let's not get into like last week's episode, which by this point in the episode, we were completely wasted.
I mean, goddamn. Goddamn. All right.
Let's keep going.
So anyway, Billy and his friends agreed to cooperate with police, get reduced sentences. Billy later actually testified that Pamela seduced him and then threatened to break off their relationship unless he killed her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Here's actually some of the testimony. Do you want to be Pam's attorney and I'll be Billy?
Sure.
Okay. I'm Billy.
Hey, Billy.
Okay. I wanted to be with Pam, and that's what I had to do to be with Pam, but I didn't want to kill Greg.
Whatever she told you to do, you would do?
Yes, I probably would do it.
It was like you had no brain?
I had a brain, but I was in love.
End scene. Now, I like this because I often ask you, it was as if you have no brain. So it kind of felt like very familiar to both of us.
Thank you, Matt. Isn't that what love is? You know, they
say
that
no
love is blind. And I'm
For
taking this
sure.
to the extreme.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
The extreme. But you're 15, you lose your virginity to somebody, and this is like such a forbidden fruit that you can't have.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know.
No, I think it's an important point. I mean, yeah, we've talked about
it a lot.
I think
it's important to set the scene, and while I don't think that your natural reaction would be like, yeah, no, I'm totally going to kill somebody,
right.
I think it's really important to understand all the factors involved to get a sense of what was going through their heads.
And how influenced he was by this woman.
Of course.
And how brainwashed and just kind of under this.
Seduced.
Yeah.
I mean, I think seduction is the best term for it. And according to the Chicago Tribune, Pam's lawyers portrayed Billy Flynn and his accomplices as quote, thrill killers,
mm-hmm.
who murdered Gregory Smart so Flynn could live with the widow. The lawyers argued that Flynn and his accomplices were trying to label Pamela Smart as the mastermind behind the murder plot to obtain reduced prison terms. And Pam maintained and has
always
maintained to this day that she's completely innocent. She still claims she never asked Billy to kill her husband and that she had nothing to do with his murder. She also believed that she wasn't getting a fair trial because of the way the media was portraying her and the intense media storm around the case. She was dubbed the Ice Princess by the media because she showed little emotion. There's a lot more to get to
that. I was
that.
Just going
to
say, we'll get into the Ice Princess stuff. I think there's also a conversation we'll get to in a second when we give out some more details here about the verdict.
Yeah.
And who got what time and why. So hold this information in your back pocket as we get through
But I
this.
Will say she still maintains her innocence.
Yes.
Even to this day in 2017.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car.
That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
So the New York Times wrote that this was the first case to be televised gavel to gavel.
Which I didn't know.
Yeah, that was interesting. I didn't know that either. So this was before, like, the OJ case,
right,
and the Menendez brothers case, who are the two wealthy brothers who lived in a Hollywood mansion and killed their parents.
That's a separate podcast.
We'll get to that eventually. So it's kind of an interesting way to look at it. You know, the media was kind of doing this. And by gavel to gavel, that means obviously start to finish.
Right.
This case, by the way, also was loosely portrayed in a Gus Van Sant movie called To Die For with Nicole Kidman, Matt Dillon, and Joaquin Phoenix. There was an HBO documentary about it. There was a made-for-TV movie about it starring Helen Hunt, who I love. Shout out to Twister. There was an episode of Killer Couples, one of our shows here on Oxygen, about
which
it.
Which I watched.
Which you did watch.
Which
that's
I highly
right.
recommend for anybody who wants to like see pictures and really get an in-depth look at the case as well.
Yeah, because they have other kind of experts talking about
yeah,
it as well.
Absolutely.
And it was even parodied on Family Guy. So, and do you remember 9.5 Weeks? We talked about this.
Who doesn't,
right? The public was so obsessed with the case that the New York Times actually had a really interesting report about this saying, quote, Mr. Flynn's testimony about being seduced while watching 9.5 Weeks starring Kim Basinger and Mickey Rourke has also caused a run on the film in video stores throughout southern New Hampshire. Stanley Berg, manager of the video collection in Salem, New Hampshire, said he has repeatedly had customers come in and ask for it, mentioning the trial and saying, quote, they want to see for themselves, quote, how sexually explicit the film is. Kind of like Darren Carr.
Well, I was just wondering.
Wow.
I thought that would be a really good... One of us had to watch
that's
it.
That's true.
I decided to be the guinea pig.
You were definitely, like, excited. But what did we text each other? Didn't we say something?
Well, I had texted you saying... So I rented it,
yeah.
and I said to you, oh, my God, I'm watching 9.5 Weeks.
And I
you
wrote,
go, what
LOL.
Do you think of it? And I write, I'm 2 minutes in and I already want to kill my husband.
So it's giving you a lot of ideas.
It gave me, yeah. But you know, I got to say, just as an aside and just to be real,
sure.
I watched this before bed and I was really hoping for some like fun dreams.
Yeah, sure.
Got nothing. And I dreamt about work.
Oh,
great.
Oh my God.
I know. So it just goes to show 9.5 weeks.
Maybe you need to
weeks.
Watch a work movie.
And just goes to show that like the day and age we're living in.
Yeah,
like this is.
By the way, remember video rental stores?
I miss it.
Love a good Blockbuster. Now it's all on our phones and Apple TVs.
It's not fun to like see what they have available.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, she was later dubbed the Ice Princess because of her, quote, cold demeanor. So this is another report from the New York Times around this time frame, saying, quote, ever since the death of her husband, Smart has exhibited a cool composure that led trial watchers to nickname her the Ice Princess. She wavered slightly only once when she described finding her husband's body. Throughout the trial, even while testifying, Smart dressed in conservative business attire with a demure bow in the back of her hair and 3-inch black patent leather pumps on her feet. So now we have to think about, okay, so her trial's happening. She's being portrayed, you know, the media is examining her clothing. They're not examining men's clothing like this ever,
yeah,
by the
very,
way.
Very rarely.
And by the way, we're recording this episode on International Women's Day. So shout out to women everywhere that are.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I think it's worth thinking about the idea that the media's obsession with portraying women on trial as cold and removed and evil and calculated could sway public opinion and maybe even a jury.
Well, it definitely can. And I think I think that's a huge deal. I mean, we've been coming out of the election, and you and I actually talked about this a lot.
A lot,
Everyone was talking about what Hillary Clinton was wearing, you know,
and
people might be like, oh, Trump wears oversized suits, but people really divulge in what she was wearing at the debate.
The symbolism.
Everything.
Yeah,
and to go along with this, so I watched that Killer Couples episode on the case, and they had said when the police investigators had gone in to sort of investigate Gregory Smart and had seen him dead, she had walked over his bloodstain just like casually and never said anything about it. And so I also think that adds to the whole Ice Princess, like no emotion.
No emotion.
And while, you know, I mean, I feel two ways about it. I do think the public very much so looks
bias
at women and definitely judges what they're wearing. Did you ever see that? This is just a tangent, but did you ever see that video of a man and woman news anchor and the guy wears the same suit every day for a year, but a different tie and a different shirt, and she wears something different and they never comment on the guy at all, and he wears the exact same suit every day for a year.
Yeah.
And that would never happen with women.
Of course not.
This is why I wear all black every day.
That's true. That's another
so
good point.
So I don't get comments.
And also
and
not
I can
just
have five outfits and it doesn't matter.
And it covers up a bloodstain very well.
It covers up a bloodstain.
There you go.
But yeah, I do think that definitely influences juries, and whether or not it's
intentional
or not, I certainly think that these biases seep in subconsciously.
I completely agree. What may have swayed the jury even more was another witness from the prosecution, a student named Cecilia Pierce, who was an intern for Pam at the school. She had walked in on Pam and Billy having sex in the Smart's bedroom when her husband was away, and for whatever stupid reason, Pam had confided in her about wanting her husband to be murdered. So, again, here is another example of a student hanging out at her house. And I'm just like, where were the parents?
But she's also so casual about it.
Yeah.
She confided in her about wanting her husband to be murdered. Casual.
Well, and then you have to wonder about the mindset of an adult confiding in teenagers about murdering your husband.
Like stunted growth. And so, I mean, we talk about
how
we want Matt to be murdered all the time. But
that's a good point.
That's to save our lives.
That's definitely to save
our
lives.
That's self-defense. And clearly from your point before when you were just describing her as a person and sort of starting this illicit affair that we were discussing, she wasn't feeling great about herself. And here was this kid
true.
Who was giving her the attention that she needed. So clearly she was very vulnerable at this point.
And looking for other vulnerable people who that she could kind of
–
exactly.
Yes.
I mean, even Cecilia, you could say, since she was a student.
She's young. She's in high school, you know.
I would be curious to know, like, what was Pamela's social circle like? You know, she's this wild, crazy party girl, but where were all her friends?
I got to be honest, after everything that I read and all the research that I did, there was no
friends
of any of her. Not saying she doesn't have any. I'm just saying that there were none brought up in this case even to come to her defense of any sort of something.
No,
and given the fact that she's maintained her innocence the entire time, you'd kind of expect friends to be like,
that's a good point.
Pamela loved her husband. Pamela, nothing.
Very good point.
I read nothing. That doesn't mean it didn't exist.
Right.
I just read nothing.
Yeah, you would expect to hear at least some of that.
Yeah.
If not,
I would never come to your defense.
No.
But like, we're not friends.
No, we're not really friends. We just do this show every week.
Yeah, exactly.
Cecilia ended up calling the police after the murder and agreeing to wear a wire on more than one occasion. So clearly, not friends with Pam anymore if you're going to wear a wire.
Right.
According to the Times, in one of the recorded conversations, quote, Mrs. Smart had cautioned Miss Pierce against talking to the police. Quote, you'd be better off just lying to the police, Mrs. Smart was supposed to have said. Quote, we'd go to the slammer for the rest of our lives, Mrs. Smart mused that, quote, this would have been the perfect murder if one of the teenagers had not begun to boast about the crime to friends who repeated his remarks to the police. Oh, the perfect murder.
I do wonder, though, because
look,
only caught it because one of these guys were boasting, and clearly Pamela had an alibi. She was at school. She was in a board meeting.
She did have an alibi
for her.
Yeah.
It could have been. I don't know. There's so much speculation there.
Why are you so dumb that you would say this?
Well, yeah, and you're also talking to your fucking 15-year-old students about wanting to have your husband murdered.
Right.
So you're not you're not being so
rational.
Smart.
Oh, look at you with the play on words.
Yes.
We do what we can.
Covering up your tracks.
We do what we can here at Martinis and Murder.
We really do.
Okay, so that's basically kind of what led up to the trial and everything. So let's get into the verdict, because this is a little bit crazy how everything went down.
And you kind of have to wonder about after all of this, after knowing everything that you know, you know, who's guilty, who should serve the most time, Pamela didn't pull the trigger.
Right.
She wasn't even there at the time. Billy Flynn was the one who was there at the time with the friends, and two out of the four of the guys were in the car. So you kind of have to wonder what sentences they should serve, who's part of what. Well, after a 12-day trial and 13 hours of deliberation, Pamela Smart was found guilty of conspiracy to murdering her husband. She was immediately sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole, which is
terrible.
Outside
That's
of the death
worst.
Penalty
yeah.
is the worst sentence you can possibly get. J.R. and Fowler were sentenced to life in prison as accomplices to second-degree murder, and they were eligible for parole in 30 years. They've both been granted parole and are out of prison. Good behavior, I'm sure, just being so young. I mean, keep in mind, they weren't fully fledged adults. There might be some
That's
sort
true.
Of stipulation between – they also weren't – they were in the getaway car. They weren't
right.
actually at the scene of the crime, even
right.
though they helped. They weren't at the scene of the crime. That probably changes things.
Right.
Billy Flynn and Patrick Randall were sentenced to life in prison for second degree murder. Remember, both of them were in the house at the time of
right.
Greg Smart's murder. They were eligible for parole in 40 years, but were both granted parole just last year. And they're out of prison. So Billy actually got married while he was in prison. His wife is Kelly Flynn, who had been in a troubled 12-year relationship prior to Billy. She actually explained in a letter submitted to a judge in support of Billy's request for parole that writing to him was cathartic. She said, quote, "I had come out of my divorce with many scars and a total lack of trust in men. Maybe part of the initial attraction was the fact that he was in a prison cell and he could not uh-huh. hurt me. I had all the control."
Oh, good.
End quote. That doesn't sound like a fun relationship.
Doesn't sound like a fun relationship. And breaking news, he's out of jail now.
Right.
Like, maybe it's time to consider a divorce.
Control is done.
Now, he murdered someone. You should leave now.
Right.
He's not in a prison cell. He's standing right behind you right now.
Exactly. With a peeler.
I mean, how
now.
Can you possibly say this? And then, oh, by the way, he's out of jail. Like, that's so mind-boggling.
You're so emotionally traumatized probably from an abusive relationship
yeah.
that, like, who knows what you're thinking.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
a lot of, like, there's a lot of things in this case that
just don't
we would
sense.
Never get because they're so irrational but so emotional.
Yeah.
And that's really hard to process, I think, for everyone.
Sure.
Since the decades after her husband's murder and her conviction, Pamela Smart still maintained she's innocent, as we've said.
Yeah.
In an interview with MSNBC from prison, she said, quote, "I think I was the first reality TV and my trial was not fair." Hold on. I'm getting,
sure.
I was just getting a call randomly. That's very odd.
No worries.
MSNBC, she said, "I think I was the first reality TV and my trial was not fair and I had no chance."
Yeah. I mean, this is bothersome as well.
This also goes with the Ice Princess thing.
Yeah.
What's weird is like, she was the first reality TV. It's like,
okay.
Why are you thinking of that?
And also, who cares if you're on TV or not? That has nothing to do with, I mean, yes, we talked about the sort of connection and the like swaying of the jury. Okay, but at the end of the day, you still masterminded this on some level.
Well, right,
allegedly.
And I think, I mean, I've followed a bunch of other prison cases. You know, if you look at Charlie Manson, which was a really popular case in the 60s,
mm-hmm.
he wasn't there for the murders either.
That's a good
but
point.
But masterminded the whole thing. And I think masterminding something and be emotionally manipulative or whatever you are absolutely matters.
Sure.
It's not like Billy Flynn sort of went out of his way
yeah.
to just say, like, you know what, I'm going to kill this guy. His
right.
last name's Smart, so he had it coming.
That's true. If your last name is Smart, watch out.
Yes, Pamela has actually filed multiple appeals and has lost all of them.
Right.
She's serving her life sentence at the Bedford Hills Correctional Facility for Women, a maximum security prison in Westchester County, New York. So she's close.
Nearby.
In prison, she's earned her master's degree in both law and English literature. I got to give her credit for that. That's,
sure.
That's, hey, listen,
you're
educating yourself. I
yeah.
got to give you that. She imagines having a daughter whom she would have named Justice. And her favorite book to read is, shockingly, The Scarlet Letter.
Okay. Which
drama.
Well, I think, you know, you have to just think about what goes on in The Scarlet Letter and, like, is this some kind of nod to, like, how she's just been treated unfairly? And I'm just like, okay.
And for me, innocent until you're proven guilty, as we've talked
surely,
about many times
yeah.
in the show. But even when I was watching the Killer Couples episode, all four boys
mm-hmm.
gave the exact same story.
Yeah.
All four of them. Like, there was no discrepancy. They were very clear in what they wanted. There was absolutely no wavering.
Well, remember,
there was no questioning that.
Yeah, and remember, she had it down to she had a ring on every finger. Like, the details were laid out here, you know, so shouldn't be surprising.
How did Billy Flynn would even know her address?
Sure.
And the fact he could get in, there was no, as far as we read, there was no forced entry.
Yeah.
He got into the house, no problem. Like,
sure, that's a good point.
There were premeditated things, and interesting, Smart has since been indicted by a grand jury for attempting, while in jail, to arrange for another inmate to have Cecilia Pierce killed. Again, she was the woman who wore the wire, who was another one of her students.
Right.
But they've ended up dropping this because she's already serving life in prison. So, yeah, like, what's the point of going through all those court appeals?
Right. They aren't going to get anything out of that.
And she's not going to get, like, less of a sentence for being indicted for trying to kill another student. But that's so sick and twisted.
It
bothers me. And later it was revealed that jurors have since spoken out about Pamela Smart. They maintain that the flood of media attention to the case did not influence their decision in any way. Okay. They do, however, admit one thing. Her cold demeanor worked against her.
So basically saying it didn't sway their decision, but it didn't help in some ways.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I think that's probably true, but I do think they're subconscious.
Sure. How could there not be?
And I don't know if any juror, if they saw her cry over her husband's thing, would have changed anything.
True.
But being cold in the courtroom, with newlyweds, isn't going to help your
favorite. From what little, like, actual jury footage, not jury footage, like judge court footage I've ever watched, you know, I have heard that, in my opinion, or rather in my experience, that feeling sorry and, you know, apologetic about what you
feeling
have done.
Remorse,
that's what I was looking for. Can contribute to how a judge sentences you, you know,
totally.
Because if you're not showing remorse, then it shows that you're just a cold-blooded killer and you do deserve life in prison.
Or you'd think that someone, at least if they're...
Yeah.
If they feel guilty about something or they care or they're innocent, would show
something.
Sort of remorse.
Yeah.
You'd think.
But, you know, again,
not that
it doesn't
that
change.
Not that should play into
exactly.
court proceedings, but...
I mean, I have to say, though, you know, as we round out this episode, I don't know. For me, it's just crazy that the person that pulled the trigger and killed this man is now walking free.
He's in his 40s now.
Yeah. And, like, married to somebody and having this life. But the woman who wasn't there gets life in prison. And as you mentioned and as we've detailed, of course, she was the mastermind, whatever. She's convicted. I just feel like, and tell me what you think about this, because we did talk a little bit about this in the pre-production meeting. It just feels wrong to me that there's a cold-blooded killer, someone who actually did the killing. Because, again, this could have been her. She could have killed him if she really wanted to pull the trigger herself. So why does she get... such a severe sentence, you know? Is it the age thing?
I think she feels that way as well.
I'm not saying it's right, by the way.
She feels, you know, that she's been treated unfairly and she's maintained her innocence the entire time.
Right.
But I think it also goes to show, there is a cold blooded. There is someone who killed somebody who's out there. But would he have killed without her influence? She talked about this with multiple students. She planned this whole thing. Clearly, Billy wouldn't have known what to do without... some sort of help. And I'm not, I don't know necessarily what the right justification for a criminal sentence is.
Yeah.
But. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's, Matt, the producer, bartender.
That's a good point. He did throw the dog down the stairs.
That's true.
Which for me is life in prison.
Life in prison without
possibility
parole.
of parole. But, you know, it's hard, you know, because she was really the. She was really the mature adult one. And I say that with Lucy here and masterminded the whole thing, which is almost, I don't know, you know, and I don't want to say that anyone could just pull a trigger and it really matters the mind. Cause obviously Billy was his own person, but he really wasn't a fully fledged adult.
Yeah.
And so it's very hard to say, but I am of the, you know, I am of a second chances type of person. I'm also of, like, innocent until proven guilty.
Totally.
I just think that she's so guilty that...
I also just have a problem with, like, people who have murdered and or raped walking freely in public. That bothers me. And I'm not the type of person that also thinks people should sit in jail and rot forever and, like, never pay for what they've done. But it is, it's just weird that maybe I'm sitting on the subway next to that guy, you know, who shot his brains, like, this guy's brains out.
Who am I sitting next to? Who am I passing on the street? Who's making my martini every Wednesday? Like, these are a lot of things
very serious questions
that
we ask ourselves.
To think about.
Absolutely.
Yeah, who's giving me a fucking orange peel when it should be lemon? These are questions. These are questions that we have.
Very serious questions.
That need to be answered.
Well, let's get into some listener feedback as we do every episode. And by the way, if you guys have thoughts or opinions about this, feel free to send them our way. We love reading what you guys think.
I actually, before we get to shouting out some fans, last week when we were discussing the Kristen Smart case with Paul Flores, and we had questioned something about, like, why would he plead the fifth when we were talking about him with the lawyer.
Sure.
I found out later that apparently, you know, why would he, we said, like, why would he plead the fifth to his name or where he was living or anything like that. Huh. Apparently, you have to plead the fifth the entire way. It's not like you can choose what to plead the fifth to. And so once you've determined to plead the fifth, you plead the fifth.
For everything.
For everything. It's not like you'd be like, my name is Paul Flores. And then not. So I just wanted to say for law purposes that that is something that's important.
Good to know.
Yes.
All right. Listener feedback. I first want to give a shout out to our friend Barry.
Yeah, Barry.
Hey, Barry, here at the Bravo Oxygen offices, who is a big fan of the show.
Yes.
Barry said that he's probably commuting or walking his dog right now as he's listening to the
Just
show.
Don't throw your dog down the stairs,
down the
Barry.
Steps, please. My God. If anything, love your dog harder today.
Oh, my God, please.
So just make sure that you have pepper spray and or a knife to fight off potential murderers like Matt.
Yes.
Class A Charlie on Twitter says, Jay Thrasher and Carpe Darren are thebomb.com.
Hey.
Go check out Martinis and Murder. Thank you, Class A Charlie
on
Twitter.
Thank you so much. I love being
thebomb.com. Thebomb.com. I haven't heard that since maybe the 90s, so I'm into it.
But not the 80s.
Not the 80s.
So
we do not want to talk about Van Halen ever again on the show.
No, but we do want to talk about 9.5 weeks.
Sure.
Marisol on Twitter says, love your podcast, your chemistry and conspiracy theories. Martinis and Murder is fantastic. And she also suggested a case for us to look into, which we've added to our master sheet of user-submitted cases. So, guys, thank you, Marisol.
Yeah,
keep them coming. We love fan submissions, and we love hearing your theories. It's so fun to connect to you guys, and you guys are way smarter than John and I are,
true.
So it's nice to hear what you have to say. Sorry, John, but...
No, it's true.
It's true.
Absolutely true. Yeah, definitely let us know murders, cold cases, mysteries. You can tweet us at CrimeTime on Twitter or leave us a comment on Facebook at facebook.com/CrimeTime on Oxygen. But be sure to check the terms of submission on oxygen.com before you send us your ideas.
Correct.
Coming up on Oxygen, new episodes of It Takes a Killer every Friday at 11:10 Central. And of course, we know we talked about this on last week's episode.
Yeah.
3 Days to Live is now airing every Sunday at 6:05 Central and then again at 9:08 Central.
I love it.
Fun stuff coming on.
I'm all about Crime Time.
If you love true crime, Oxygen is the place you need to be. So the moral of the story that
I like having a moral to every story.
Maybe
I
we
think
should
we
add
need
this.
To end on a moral to every story, and I think you should tell us the moral.
The moral of,
the story. Of
this story today is, folks, listen. Do not let your kids go to their teachers' houses. Okay, nothing is ever going to be okay.
Right.
Especially if they're horny 15-year-old kids. You know what I mean?
And don't watch 9.5 weeks.
But if you do, don't do it alone, because that's just kind of weird and sad.
And use a lemon peel. That's all.
That's a good moral of the story.
We needed to give you the entire thing.
Absolutely.
The entire synopsis.
You know, this isn't just a true crime show.
We
have
our morals.
This is a self-help show as well. We've turned it into that by episode, what is this, 9 or 10?
Oh,
my God. So long in the tooth.
I know.
All right. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.